Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. Gab and Don will be with us as well a little later on. We'll start the show as we have been over the last few days to give you an update on how the coronavirus is affecting football around the world. Much of it you know already. Tomorrow, of course, that big meeting with UEFA regarding the future of Euro 2020 and the Champions League. But we'll start with today's news that the Bundesliga has suspended matches until at least April the 2nd. Some very interesting quotes coming out from the Bundesliga chief executive saying tens of thousands of jobs are at stake. We've reached a point where Bundesliga has to admit, yes, we are manufacturing a product, and if we no longer manufacture it, then we cease to exist. Gab Marcotti, is it as serious as he suggests?
Look, it's obviously a serious situation for the Bundesliga. It's a serious situation for anybody who produces content. But you know what? I think this is also a fair amount of posturing, of trying to get help from the federation, from the government. The reality is German clubs, like all clubs who aren't playing football, will face a cash flow problem simply because they're not playing games. And so, while the league is suspended, there isn't cash coming in, and they still need to pay salaries. But I also think, you know, there is a bit of a sky is falling, not in terms of the seriousness of the pandemic, obviously, but in terms of the threat to the German game. A lot of this is predicated, when they make their projections on the fact that television companies aren't going to pay up because they're not showing games. Well, that remains to be seen. That's one for the lawyers. A lot of leagues also have insurance tied with these contracts. We are talking about an act of God. We're talking about force majeure here. But obviously, from his perspective, he wants to protect his business as much as possible. I think we'll have a much clearer picture going forward about whether these games have to be canceled and never played again, or postponed into the summer with a possible postponement of the Euros. So, yeah, it's a blow, but you know what? Look around you. Look at the stock market. Look at what's happening. It's a blow to everybody.
That leads us into the next question, which is looking ahead to that meeting tomorrow, of course, Gab. What are we expecting to learn after it concludes?
I think there's no question that there's a strong impetus towards moving Euro 2020. I think it's what the majority of the stakeholders want. I can't imagine really all but a handful of people being against the principle. People want to be able to wrap up their leagues, and they figure they've really got no shot if they have to wrap everything up by the end of May. But if you have until June 30th, you may have a chance. UEFA as well want to be able to wrap up the Champions League in some shape or form. Now, we have no idea if the epidemic is going to allow us to do that. But they want to be in the running. They want to have the possibility of doing that so that you can get some kind of, I don't want to say a neat finish, but at least a clean finish to all these leagues, and then move forward into next season.
A lot of speculation about how they're going to conclude the Champions League, Gab. Maybe a neutral venue for the final knockout stages. Is that something that feasibly might happen?
I think they're going to listen to any proposal right now. One proposal which is gaining steam is obviously you need to go and finish the round of 16 in the Europa League and Champions League. Then maybe the quarterfinals, one-legged, neutral venue. And then perhaps you look at the Champions League final, having sort of a final four type scenario where you play the semifinals and the final, you know, within 3-4 days of each other. Look, UEFA are very mindful that they're going to have to reduce the number of Champions League fixtures, which means broadcasters are going to take a hit for that. But there has to be give and take between them and the domestic leagues, because domestic leagues, most likely most of them, won't be able to play out all their remaining fixtures.
It's all speculation, obviously, at the moment. But regarding that plan for the Champions League, it seems sensible, doesn't it?
It does. And if I'm in that committee that is presenting these options as a possibility when they go and discuss this on Tuesday, the one thing that I would say to that committee is, look, we're going into a beehive right now. We're going to have to deal with all sorts of different federations and different people who have different interests, and they're looking out for their own league and their own situation. And yet we have to find a solution that we can all live with. And so it doesn't have to be a perfect solution, because there are no perfect solutions in this problem.
Yeah.
You have to find the one solution that you could, that you think is the least bad. It, of all the bad possibilities, which one is the least bad? Mm. Which one is the one that we can all live with? Which one is the one that is a, it's a give and take, but we can find a middle point, a middle ground where everybody can say, you know what, let's go after that. Something like that final four that you just mentioned, is, it is feasible, it is realistic, and it is indeed a something that people can get excited about, something that we haven't seen before. Maybe we're making a positive out of a negative. Maybe we're trying to get the best solution that we can with the circumstances available, and I do think it's reasonable.
There has to be some give and take, obviously.
Yes, and I think what you'll find, and certainly everybody on the committee of UEFA and all the other boards, you'll find out all the people who are interested in the big picture and all the ones that are just looking out for themselves, that will become abundantly clear. And hopefully the good guys outweigh the bad guys,
yeah,
and they do use common sense and they do come to an agreement that is for the best for everybody, not just for certain teams. Because that's pretty much what's happened in European football for years. It always seems to be the big names and the big teams either get away with things. You talk about right now with Manchester City. We all think that they're going to get away with this because they have the money and because of the size of the club. This will pull everybody together, no question.
Don Hutchison is with us as well. Don, does this resolution for you make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think the noises in the UK on the radio stations that think that's going to happen tomorrow, they're saying that everything is on the table. So that's including suspending the season, finishing it late. They're sort of saying, look, we're going to have a conversation and everything is on the table, if you like. So we're going to have the conversation to see how we fix this. I agree with the chaps. I think, in my view, I think the season has to be finished. I don't think you could call the season off now and anoint Liverpool champions. It wouldn't seem right. Likewise with the teams at the bottom of the league, likewise with the teams throughout the divisions. I just don't think that sits right. I think somehow we've got to finish the leagues. And if that means we lose the Euros, then so be it, really. Disappointing, but it has to be done because it's a very sensitive issue.
Go on, Gab.
I just want to make clear, UEFA aren't at any point going to tell leagues how they're going to finish and what finish a league means. There's people here in England, including Greg Dyke, the head of the FAs, who says that you have to finish the league and you have to play out every single fixture, and that might take us through to August, but so be it. I personally think that's an absolutely demented idea, but you know what? UEFA aren't going to get into that. UEFA are simply going to tell leagues, listen, by June 30th, you need to have everything wrapped up. If you want to play in next season's Champions League or Europa League, July 1st or July 2nd or whenever it is, you have to give us who's playing in the Champions League, who's playing in the Europa League, and that's it. The rest of it, you can go and finish your league in 2029 for all we care. We're not going to get involved with that. People in England want to keep playing until Kingdom Come, as Wayne Rooney has suggested. They're free to do that. If people elsewhere want to have either some kind of mini league or playoff to wrap up the league, or they can fit all their fixtures in, then they're free to go and do that. But I think the message that has to come from European football is that as far as next season's Champions League is concerned, we move on. And that means early July, you have to submit your names. Pick them any which way you want. Pick them out of a hat, if you like. But don't give us this, well, our league doesn't finish until August nonsense. If you want your league to keep going to August, that's fine. We're not going to be involved in that. You give us the names July 1st, if you want to play.
But then you could have a genuine power struggle, can you, Gab? For example, if the Premier League, go on.
There's no power struggle. This isn't something that anybody can entertain. Nobody in the world is thinking about playing leagues until August, apart from people like Greg Dyke and his ilk here in England. Because there are different climatic conditions, there's different situations throughout Europe.
But if they want to, Gav, they can, can't they? For example, the Premier League
will be like, wait a minute,
we pay these players, and if we want them to play up until August, mm-hmm. then that's the way it's going to be.
Then they're absolutely free to do that. The only thing that they need to do, though, is if they also want these guys who they pay to play in the Champions League and get a slice of that pie, then July 1st or July 2nd, and in any case before the preliminary round start, they have to submit their teams for that season. If then they want to go and get their jollies by playing out the string, you know, into July and August, they're absolutely free to do that. But they have to tell UEFA which teams are going to participate in the Champions League and in the Europa League by the start of July, by whichever method that they choose.
A lot more about this, by the way, on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which dropped today. No Philadelphia shirt today.
Oh, disappointing.
In the wash.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers. Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
It would have been the Merseyside derby today. Liverpool are taking on Everton. Liverpool, of course, have dominated their city rivals over recent years. We've got two gentlemen who know about this very well. We'll speak to Don in a moment. But Stevie, you think Merseyside derby, you think surely the 86 Cup final.
Hey, look at you.
Is that Gary Lineker in there with you?
Yeah, well, at that time, this is probably the finest team that Everton's had, arguably, for a 3-year spell. I mean, it was just nip and tuck between the two of us.
Yeah.
We actually pipped him the week before that cup final for the league. And, of course, that FA Cup final, we ended up pipping them as well. Yeah. So
that was the 3-1 I was saying before, wasn't it? That's the rush goal that hits the camera in the back.
Camera
and knocks it over.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect.
Now, what's interesting about this that most people won't know is what happened after the game. Mm.
Well, it's kind of a typical situation where people who are not football people make decisions. And the politicians in Liverpool decided that regardless of what happened, both sides would travel back together and would go on the parade in Liverpool together.
Ah.
So, yeah. So both teams got mixed up with the husband, the players and the wives.
Right.
You know, half our team was on one plane, half ours were on the wrist plane. The same with them. So, of course, we're still hung over from the night before after winning.
Yeah.
And they're, of course, you've got to scrape them off the floor. But then we get back to Liverpool Airport, we get on a bus to go to the parade, and we've got the league and we've got the FA Cup. The second bus, which is about 40 yards behind us, is the Everton players with, their heads down, and they have to go through 500,000 people in Liverpool. Split all between Liverpool fans and Everton fans, and they had to go all the way through Liverpool. Wow. And of course, we're like this. Trophies, hey! They were all like that. Yeah, how's it gone?
How intense is the rivalry, Stevie? How would you describe it?
Do you know what? It's the Merseyside rivalry is. It's like a family at war. Is what it is for a period of time. It's like two brothers or a brother and sister having an argument. And then eventually it's like back to normal.
Right.
That's what it is. It's not the vitriol and the hatred of a Liverpool Man United. Yes, there's that desire to win, but it's like a family thing. There's no hatred in it whatsoever.
And it's not like a Celtic Rangers rivalry.
No.
You haven't got the political, the religious edge to it either.
There is, I don't believe, and maybe Gab, of all people, if there is one, will tell me, I don't believe there's another derby in the world where both sets of fans actually sit intermingled all the way around the stadium and there's never any trouble.
Don, as I mentioned before, of course, knows what it's like to play for Liverpool, but for Everton as well, quite a unique factor. There he is.
Oh, he's diving is what he's doing. I know I die when I see one.
Don, what was it like playing for both teams? How much stick did you get from Liverpool fans when you went to Everton?
Yeah, it wasn't actually too bad. My memories, I don't know if Stevie played in the game in 92. I was playing for Liverpool at the time, and I don't know if Stevie played in the game when Mo Johnson and Peter Beattie scored for Everton and they beat us 2-1 at Goodison.
Then obviously you had the 4-4, the famous 4-4 when Kenny resigned days later. But my selfish memory, and Ali will probably like this one, got on a selfish tangent, was I am the last Everton skipper to take his side to Anfield and win. And that was in 1998, 22 years.
Wow.
It's not been good for Everton. In 22 years, they've not won at Anfield. Scandalous.
You know what Dunn does whenever they go and play at Anfield now? He is rooting against Everton.
Yeah, of course, because then he can still
he's still the guy.
He can still
I'm still
that.
The captain.
Yeah. Who do you support, Dom, when they face off against each other?
Oh, no, massively on the fence.
Rubbish. Mm. You must have someone that fence. You support.
No.
Well, if you had to push me, and I really had to lean towards one, it would be Everton, because I captained Everton, so I've got a I loved my time at Liverpool. No, I did, I loved my time at Liverpool, but I was a youngster, I was a teenager, I didn't know what I was doing. Stevie will vouch for that. Then when I got older, and I got a little bit more wiser and more responsible, I captained Everton I was there for 4 years, so I think I captained them for about 2 years. So, yes, if you had to push me, and you really did, I'd lean towards Everton.
And did you know that they went into Anfield and won when he was
did
a captain?
Did you boys, Don used to captain Everton?
Yes, yeah, he was.
Have you heard that?
I'm surprised at that. I thought he would have said Liverpool.
Yeah, well, of course you would. Of course, Gab, now in charge of Everton, is your best friend Carlo Ancelotti. There was a lot of excitement when he came in that maybe the fact that with his record he can come in and lift this club to the giant status that, of course, they have the ambition to be. He hasn't exactly set the world on fire, has he? 5 wins out of what? Let's do some maths. 12?
That's 12, yes.
Yeah, 5 out of 12 since he was appointed the new coach. Is this the start of something, Gab, or is something that will end in tears pretty soon?
Look, I made the point that when he arrived, his record really becomes pretty meaningless because this is a job unlike really any that he's had in the past 20 years. Every team that he's managed thus far has been a team that you know was right at the finish line and he was there just to get them over the line. Whereas Everton are a rebuilding job, and they're a building job that needs to take place, I think, largely on a shoestring because of all the money that was spent in recent years and the wages and whatever else. And FFP applies to Everton as well. So I know he's enjoying his time there. I think actually the results are slightly better than the way you put them, notwithstanding their horrendous defeat to Chelsea, 10 days ago. But, you know, if he succeeds at this, he will have succeeded doing something he hasn't done in a very, very long time.
Just last point on this with you, Don. When Everton came in, was there ever any doubt with regards to whether or not you're going to join the club because of the fact you've been at Liverpool?
No, I was actually desperate to join Everton because I was at Sheffield United at the time, who were in the Championship, and my previous manager was Howard Kendall, who left Sheffield United for Everton. So I was actually on the phone to him every other day. Please, can you take me? Please, can you take me? Please, can you take me? And he did. He took me alongside Carl Tyler, Mitch Ward, and one or two others. So I couldn't wait to get started there. And Evertonians were brilliant because they knew sort of what type of player I was. I wasn't, you know, going to dangle a leg or be a fancy Dan number 10. I was going to put my foot in and get stuck in. So I was quite confident they would take to me.
It was then a captain would, material.
Then, yeah, he would earn the captaincy.
Yeah, yes.
Two years captain, apparently. Over on Extra Time on our YouTube channel, as always, we answer your questions. Be sure to check it out. Real Madrid apparently very interested in signing Sadio Mane. Of course, what a revelation he has been since making that move, really, to the Premier League. Of course, great for Southampton, even better for Liverpool. On yesterday's show, Gab made the argument that out of the three, maybe it should be Mane who you could sell because you can get the most money from him, for him, Stevie.
That's only any good if you're bringing in Timo Werner.
Well, you
or somebody like Timo Werner.
So you could do that.
Unfortunately, there aren't many around.
Well, there's a Timo Werner around.
But what if he wants to go elsewhere?
He doesn't. He said, you know, he likes Liverpool, doesn't he? He's excited about that.
Oh, yeah. So it's done then. It's a done deal.
Well, no, it just seems
well,
weird.
Exactly. Well, don't say that as if it's done.
It's weird that Timo Werner is
the way you're speaking as if it's done. That's what you're mentioning. That's exactly your tone. Oh, it's done. Timo Werner's. But your Timo Werner said he wants to go. But guess what? There was a guy called Mbappe who wanted to go to Real Madrid, who told everybody he wanted to go, and he ended up at PSG.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. You started it. You started
You're the
it.
One who started with Timo Werner, which surprises me.
So, anyway.
You put him on the same level as Sadio Mane.
If you're going to get 140 million for Sadio Mane, mm-hmm. and you have somebody like Timo Werner available and coming in and is going to be there,
right.
then I think you can take the chance.
Oh, wow.
If I had the choice, I would rather sell Salah, right. keep Mane, and have Timo Werner on the other side.
Right.
But the truth is, if it's 140 million,
yeah.
and you pay half of that for Timo Werner, then I think that's good business.
Oh, wow. Gab?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, and I'm sure they'd rather sell Divock Origi for 300 million. But I think the reality is, I don't think you're getting 140 million for Salah. And to be clear, I'm not saying that Liverpool have to sell or whatever. I'm just saying that of the three, and the question originally was in the context of Real Madrid, Sadio Mane is looked at as the surest thing, I think, by clubs on the continent. The guy who's easiest to drop into a team without you having to go and adjust the team to the way he plays. I think beyond that, we're in agreement. Mane turns 28 next month. He's by no means old, but the reality is Mane, Firmino, and Salah are all the same age, and you don't want three guys who all play in the same position all getting old at the same time. So I think that was the impetus behind it.
What does a former Everton captain make of all of this? Let's hear it. Sadio Mane, what do you reckon, Don? 140 million use after that for Timo Werner. Would you take that?
I'm just checking my armband at the moment to see if it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. I wouldn't. I disagree with Gab. I wouldn't. Gab's right in the fact that the same age. But it's Mo Salah that I watch every single week. And his numbers are astonishing, don't get me wrong. And you can't take that away from Mo Salah. But I think Stevie said a couple of weeks back when we were on this show talking Champions League just before the Atletico Madrid game, you watch Mo Salah and the guy does genius things, but he does the most basic things so bad, it's untrue. He can't pass a ball 5 yards. He seems to keep playing this ball where he tries to nutmeg everyone at the same time from when he's on the whichever side he's on. If he's coming off the right flank, he comes in on his left, tries to play it into a striker through a body of players that's never, ever on. And you watch him and you go, surely this has been coached. Surely Jurgen Klopp and his coaching staff have tried to coach Mo Salah. And he does the basic things really badly. Yeah, his numbers are frightening and he scores a ridiculous amount of goals in the Premier League and in the Champions League. So I would disagree. I would think if you're going to sell anyone, and you had to sell anyone, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't sell any if I was Jurgen Klopp. But if one was to go and you offered me Mo Salah for someone like Jadon Sancho, I maybe would take that swap.
Go on, Gap.
Yeah, of course you would. But that's not the point. The point is, who is the most saleable asset? Who will get you the most money? Other people can watch Salah too, and they notice what you notice about what Don Hutchinson notices about Salah as well. That was the whole point of the question. Of those three guys, you will get the most money for Sadio Mane relative to the others.
But that's a ridiculous argument.
So sure, yeah,
that's a ridiculous argument. Just because someone's valued more doesn't mean they're going to be the one that goes out the door.
I'm not saying that they're going to sell this one or they're going to sell that one. But I'm saying is, out of those three, you can get 140 million for, but possibly, according to the story, for Sadio Mane. You're not going to get anywhere near that for Mohamed Salah. And if you're trying to, to sell a guy like Salah on his wages, there's a very limited number of clubs that he can go to. And the next tier down of clubs can't afford probably more than 40, 50 million. And I think even you wouldn't sell Salah for 40 million.
The transfer news web scrape is busy over the last few days. Be sure to check it out over on the website.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too.
So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Meanwhile, yesterday we paid tribute to Steve Nicol, who was named as the all-time greatest coach of New England Revolution.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
We thought, oh, it'd be a nice segment where we could maybe say some nice things about Stevie.
Which I did.
It's what Hercules Gomez said.
He didn't.
There's only one Stevie Nicol. Alejandro could attest to this. You played against those New England teams and maybe necessarily didn't have the best team in sort of where it's a very beautiful style of play, but they were the most difficult teams to play against. Every player knew what that team was about. They knew who they were playing for. They had that Stevie Nicol DNA to them. The most difficult teams you would ever play would be those Stevie Nicol teams for sure.
Mm. Sounds a bit Simeone-esque, Stevie.
Well, that was what you said. It sounded like he was struggling out to be nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
to be fair,
he was searching.
Half of our team would have played in absolutely in any team in the league, at least. And he's talking about not playing football. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to fight, yes, our teams would fight you.
Right.
And if you wanted a game of soccer,
yes,
then our teams would outplay you.
Right.
Uh-huh. Just go look at the goals records.
Right, what do the goal records say?
Well, the goal records,
because you had some records that you looked up.
Unless you play football, you don't score goals. And
right.
If you look at the goals records, ours is way up there over a period of 4 to 5 years, averaging more goals than anybody else.
It was 3 years before we went on to read. Now it's gone up to 4 or 5 years.
Hey, but
well, I started off taking a cross-section. So... But that's fine.
But aside from Herc's criticisms, a nice honour, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ah, look at that pair. Look at see that.
You know, and I think the one thing that's forgotten is actually how enjoyable it was. Listen,
sure.
We all want to win all the time, but you
that's
know,
very
some
close,
of the guys, some of the guys that played for me, and some of the fun Paul and I, and my goalie coach the Rev had as well. Just it was just a great time.
The referee, you chatting to this?
Oh, it was great.
You must have given him.
Referees, I used to give them. I apologise to all of them.
No, you don't really.
No, you're right, I don't. everything you got, you deserved. Every one of you.
Everybody loves playing for this
man. They deserve. All right then, that's it. Make sure you stay tuned for Extra Time coming up next. Welcome into Extra Time. It's the question that everybody is asking as we kick things off. Is Craig ever coming back? He's been on vacation for a long time.
What, it's been a week?
No, it's been longer than a week.
What day is today?
Today's Monday.
Hey, right. Time flies when you're having fun.
So it's been 10 days.
10 days.
Time flies.
That's quite a long time.
He was away for 5 weeks last year, so...
All right.
This is a piece of cake.
But you play golf with him, he's still alive, he's still good, still happy. Swinging.
Yeah, happiest man alive on a golf course.
Of course. What would it be like when he comes back here?
Oh.
Not very happy.
No. If league seasons are to resume at a later date, how long do teams need for training before they're ready for matches?
Ooh. Mm. Well, clearly you can't do a normal pre-season.
Sure.
But again, what you'd have to realise is that everybody's going to be in the same boat.
Okay.
So no team is going to be fitter or quicker or stronger than anybody else, because whatever time period it is, they'll all have the same time.
And I imagine the players are still working out.
Yeah, but it's a different fitness altogether.
Well, right.
But you're going to be pressed for time. So you can't be like, hey, let's take a couple of weeks to get ready. No, I think once they decide we're going to go, and then the players will be expected to be in some sort of fitness enough for them to put together a performance on 90 minutes on the weekend.
Go on, Gab.
No, it's a good point you make about the players working out. There's been a whole gaggle of videos of players filming themselves working out at home. I think what not everybody realizes is that certainly as far as players in parts of Spain are concerned and players in Italy, these people are confined to their homes. So it's not like some people have home gyms and whatever else. Other people do not. And so they've had to either bring in exercise equipment where they can. But, you know, it is very, very up and down and very different what people can actually do on their own. Some people have swimming pools, others do not.
But Ali, is anything ever less than 100%? I'd love to hear a 76% a penalty.
Well, a penalty is either a penalty or not a penalty. Yeah. So it's either 0% or 100%.
Sure.
However, for who's this person? Tim? For Tim. Just for you, Tim.
Yeah.
Just because we're in a tough, tough situation nowadays, yeah, and I just want to lift your spirits. 76%! Just for you, Tim.
Doesn't have the same ring about it.
No, it doesn't, but I do what I can. I do it for the people.
Gab, all right.
I don't know if it's, is it Gab or Gab, Don making? I think it might be Don making strange. Maybe Don just looked at
the... Yeah, it was me. No, look, I appreciate Ali's effort and solidarity, but 76%, Ali, it just doesn't, it just really doesn't sound right. I think you should just stick to what you've been doing all along with the 100%.
I'm not selfish, Gab. I'm here for the people. I'm here to lift spirits. And this is what team needed today. That's what I'm doing.
Particularly these tough times.
When I heard those strange noises, I thought Don may have looked at himself in a mirror and thought, oh, I've completely forgot I was on TV today.
No, he'd lost his captain's armband. That's what it was.
Oh, no.
Don, why are you dressed like that?
It's freezing over here, and I'm taking measures. I don't want to be cold, so I've got layers on. So
you put layers underneath a shirt and a nice jacket?
Well, I've got a jumper on. I've got a couple of T-shirts on. I'm warm. I'm casual.
Oh, you are casual.
You are casual.
Right then.
I've got the armband on underneath.
Favorite.
I've got the Everton shirt on underneath.
Favorite football movie? Oh. ID is really good. If you haven't seen ID, it's not really a football movie. It's about hooliganism in the 80s.
No.
What do you mean, no? That's a football movie.
No, you know what? All right. Well, obviously the greatest football movie is Escape to Victory, which ended up in a draw. But
don't ruin it for people who haven't seen it.
Stevie might... Stevie might know this, true. Or possibly Don, since he's also Scottish. Isn't there some famous Scottish film where there's like an iconic film from the 70s with a girl footballer or something?
Yeah, Gregory's Girl.
Gregory's Girl.
What's the premise of Gregory's Girl, Don?
Gregory's Girl is a girl who's a very talented footballer, but obviously in Scotland and back in, I think, the 70s, they were just boys' team only, but she was sort of forced to sort of tie her hair up and look more like a boy so she could play for the team, and she was like amazing. But it's like a funny, funny film. It's quite iconic. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen Kez. Kez is an iconic
fantastic
football film.
There you go.
Kez is fantastic.
That's not a football movie.
Brilliant.
Well, but one of the best parts, and arguably the best part, has to do with the school playground playing football. It is absolutely fantastic.
When the teacher gets a penalty,
he's
got the whistle, he blows himself for a penalty, and he misses the penalty, and he blames the keeper for moving, so he takes it again, and obviously slots it in the bottom corner.
I'm ruining that for us as well now. Spoiler alert, it's all over the place.
You really would laugh.
Well, if you've not seen Kez, it should be spoiled. You should have seen Kez.
Well, I have not seen it, but now it's top of my list. I am surprised, however, that Gab did not say kicking and screaming, where the whole premise of the movie is that the kids that are running the team are the Italians.
I haven't heard of that movie.
What do you mean? It's with Will Ferrell?
I have not seen that.
No. You should see it. Pass it to the Italians. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. They're the
ringers
in the team.
This is an education for all of us.
Huh. Well, you should.
Ali, what's the chances of you watching Cares? About 76%?
76%!
I don't think Ali wouldn't understand the way they talk. They're that broader, the broad
well, he's
Yorkshire.
Worked with you for 8 years. I'm sure.
Oh, Yorkshire, broad Yorkshire.
Yorkshire's harder.
What's in Cornwall?
I don't start with Cornwall. I haven't produced any movies.
Yeah, because nobody can understand it the way you speak.
Right. What else was in there? Bend It Like Beckham, Goals 1 and 2. I'm looking at Stevie.
Okay, Stevie, you don't like that.
I don't like films that have football in it because you can tell how false it is. It's just stupid. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I just can't help myself.
Yeah. People
diving out the road and all this nonsense.
I was rewatching The Sopranos, which is brilliant. There's a horrible soccer scene in it all where they're just faking it all. Horrible. How'd you say, Stevie?
To be fair, how bad was Sylvester Stallone as a goalie? I mean, come on. Give me a break.
What?
Well, nearly as bad as Rodney Dangerfield as the coach in Ladybugs.
Gab, did you want to chip in before we move on?
I think you're being pretty harsh on on Stallone because
he was
you know a lot of the a lot of the players who played on the German team, you know, those are real footballers. Those were professional footballers. Those were your fellow pros.
And he did I mention them?
He kept them out as best he could.
Did I mention
three goals,
them?
I think, or four goals.
Look at
well, he did well to keep them out. He did what he could.
Shut up.
He only just learned stupid. To play the game.
Shut up.
We need some sort of live commentary
least,
over
I'll
this.
I'll tell you what. If you... If you're going to play a part, at least look authentic. So if you're going to play a goalie, at least dive properly. He couldn't even dive properly. What goalie do you know who dives up the way and then sideways?
Steve, the whole premise is that he's not a goalkeeper. He's a guy who's learning on the job. It's like his second day ever playing football. He's not going to look authentic.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
You're being harsh on him.
Do you think they had a throwing coach in that team?
Yeah. Well, the goalie coach doubled up as a throwing coach.
Gab,
Gunny?
Biggest moment, Eagles winning the Super Bowl or Italy winning the World Cup?
All right. I'm going to go with Italy winning the World Cup, even though, you know, see, Italy have been world champions four times. The Eagles have won the NFL four times. So, you know, I think that there's a nice balance there. But yeah, I'm going to go to the World Cup because you know what? It's all about the villains that you beat on your way to doing it. And the Eagles did overcome Tom Brady and the Cowboys. And the Patriots. And of course, they beat the Cowboys because they're in the same division. They play them every year. But man, Italy, the two World Cups Italy won in my lifetime, we got to beat the Germans twice, once in the final, once in the semifinal, and then that's pretty special.
It was Stallone in goal for Germany, really.
What are you all doing?
They're close, Jens Lehmann. Jens Lehmann and Stallone, about the same.
Yeah.
Apart from watching Escape to Victory, what are you all doing to kill time in this stay-at-home period? Dan finally learning Spanish, Stevie writing a second book.
By the way, I don't know, you weren't here, but I was asking Julian,
right,
about a French detective.
I will say, yeah. You're watching it, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, my missus finished that one.
Right.
I went home the other night.
Yeah.
She was on another one, a new French one with subtitles.
You don't like subtitles because you like to walk around when the TV's on for some reason.
Honestly. It gets a bit tiresome. Where you're glued to the waiting on the words coming up on the screen. It's annoying.
What else would you be doing?
It's annoying.
You're just watching TV.
It's annoying.
It's not annoying.
It is. Have you been watching French subtitles?
I watch many Spanish things with subtitles in English.
Yeah. Oh, Spanish.
Don, you've got what, 3-year-old twins? So that's keeping you nicely occupied.
Honestly, I am so bored. It's untrue.
Oh, dear.
I went to a game shop the other day and bought Kiddies Bingo. I've been playing bingo with the three-year-olds, which involves, like this little tumbler with all the balls in.
Yeah,
but the balls are like tiny little marbles, and there's, like, 90 of them.
Right.
And trying to keep three-year-old twins in check, putting, like, one, two, three, all in the right order, and losing balls here, there, and everywhere. I reckon I've had it 4 days, and I've gone from 90 balls to about 76.
Yeah!
Tell you what,
76 balls!
Yeah. You know when you're lying in bed at night, Don, can you hear all the balls going
round and round?
Honestly, mate, I've got OCD, so they have to, everything has to be back in the boxes, all the chess pieces and all the draft pieces and all the everything.
Playing chess at 3 years old.
Torture.
You must take after the mother.
I have to question his leadership skills.
Yes, exactly.
He's a captain, right?
Yeah, he's dropped 14 balls.
Yes, I mean, I'm just saying, you would think that he would lead his team a little bit better than he has so far.
What about you, Gab? What are you doing in your downtime?
Well, I don't actually have that much downtime because I actually have to work and write and produce podcasts as well as sit on here and talk to you guys, as you know.
It's not a real job.
We've got,
yeah.
we We do have a courtyard with a basketball hoop, but it's fully enclosed, and I'm told it's okay to go out there, and it's not much fun playing against my kids because I'm substantially taller than they are and substantially better for now anyway.
Well, you had to get the better.
I'm trying to teach myself.
Yeah.
I'm trying to teach myself to play left-handed and to do what when I played basketball when I was younger, which I was never allowed to do, which is handle the ball. Because it was kind of like, all right, you just go under the basket, get rebounds, and foul people. I'm like, okay. So it's a whole new world there. And I realized there's a good reason why I was never allowed to handle the ball, because it's really difficult, and it takes a lot of hand-eye coordination, and it's easier to be small when you do it. But it's a learning process. And there's a whole bunch of wonderful videos on YouTube teaching you all sorts of tricks, which...
Oh, Gab, you're going to have to upload your video of doing it. That's got to entertain us for a bit, definitely. Final one. Forget the best goal. What's the worst goal you've ever scored?
Oh.
Ali, this is... You've got a range of...
I got a whole catalog. All of mine were terrible.
Scrappiest, nastiest.
He could actually pull a DVD of Ali's worst goals.
They were all within 2 yards. All deadly from there.
Don, is there one that comes to mind?
I scored one off my backside in a Merseyside derby.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't when you were captain Everton, was it, at Anfield?
it was at Goodison, and it was 0-0. And Sander Vestervel tried to take a quick free kick, and I walked past him, and he smashed it off my backside. And as the ball rolled over the line, Graham Pohl panicked and blew for full time. Stadium went absolutely mental. Finished 0-0, ghost goal.
I forgot about that, Don. I'm going to look that up.
So it wasn't a goal after all?
No, got disallowed. But it should have been a goal.
Stevie?
I'll take anything. Listen, own goals, but not goals that scored. No. I don't care how they go on, it's a good goal.
What was the worst own goal?
Oh, I chipped David James, who's 112 foot tall. from 30 yards out, away at Middlesbrough. He came running out, and I lobbed it over the top of his head. It's a good finish, but...
Yeah, I remember that.
Did you give it my bad?
Played in that.
Honestly.
That's it. Thank you very much, everyone. Lots to talk about tomorrow. Frank LaBeouf will be here, Ian Dark, Julianne as well, to react to that UEFA meeting where we'll have, you imagine, some clarity about what's going to happen with Euro 2020.